Good morning. Good to see you all. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for this Sabbath day and the opportunity we have to meet with you. It's our earnest prayer that the Spirit of God, who has made his home in us, and through him, you, Father, and your Son, Christ, also live within us, but that he would fill us and equip us so our worship would be in spirit and in truth, therefore acceptable in the sight of our God, that it also would be glorifying to our Savior, Jesus Christ, for he is worthy. And finally, that it would be building us up in our faith, that we might become more like the one who bought us. We pray these things of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our New Testament reading is from the first chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians, verses 3 through 6. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the third verse. Let's hear God's inerrant word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's turn from the word of God to the Apostles' Creed, page 851 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. Christian, what do you believe in? I believe in the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come. The Holy Ghost, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You might have noticed Pastor Miller departed the building, and he does not expect to return today. So all he said to me was, Mark, I know you can't preach. Most of you know that already. He said, "Would you at least lead the communion service?" Does anybody? Oh, here's a bulletin. All right, we'll see what we will do. Okay, we will include the elements of worship as far as we can go, but the next item is an Old Testament reading, Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. If Roy had left his sermon notes up here, I could try doing those, but it doesn't look like he did. Okay, I'm not good at flipping somebody else's Bible pages. Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. And let us hear the word of the Lord. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in you the fatherless finds mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like the vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. And thus far, the reading of God's word. Okay. At this time, we will proceed with our prayer of intercession. I will lead, but everybody will pray. And as praying in intercession, of course, is when we concentrate mostly on praying with and for one another. So let us unite our hearts in prayer now. Our God, it is good to come before you. You are a God who is rich in mercy, great in compassion, an ocean of love, an ocean of love and dedication to the care of your people. And even though we have sung Psalm 95, even though we have just read Hosea 14, those times when you had to speak to your people, order them to repent, order them to turn away from false gods and idols, still, Father, you are devoted to your people. Your ability to overcome our rebellion is so much vaster than our ability even to rebel. You have demonstrated that in so many ways. You've also demonstrated it in the way that you overcome our rebellion. You have done that by giving your son. His death means the death of sin. His death means the destruction of the works of Satan. His death brings about our death to sin and our recreation in the image of your dear Son. Father, we give you thanks for such wondrous things. And even though you order us to repent, you are the one who actually gives repentance. Your Son is the one who leads us in front of you with our hearts broken and our hearts cut and humbled, and your Son leads us before you in worship and praise and honor. This is all your doing, O God. We acknowledge that. We say salvation is of the Lord. And we are glad for that. We would not bring it about. We would not develop it. We would not contribute anything to it. And so, Father, we thank you that we can come to you out of our rebellion, come in humility, come acknowledging your grace and your mercy, and coming to seek you in time of need. Father, we are reminded of our physical weakness now with the departure of Pastor Miller. He has been battling with things for weeks now. We are thankful for the weeks that he has been here in the pulpit in the last month, but we are dismayed and sorrowed by his departure this morning. We sympathize with him. We appeal to you for the needs of the church. He told me he was feeling really, really awful. Father, we ask that you would ease that. We ask that you would get him past this episode, not just today, but the episode of the last couple of months. We ask that you would restore him to strength and stability, able and ready to carry out his work as the pastor of this church. Father, we give you thanks for the elders and the deacons who serve here. Sometimes there may be some extra work for elders when the pastor is down. We give you thanks, Father, that you have given this church a noticeable handful of faithful elders. We ask that you would not only give them to the church, but give them all gifts and graces that are needed for carrying out their ministry. And there have been a number of things that have been pretty demanding on the elders, especially elders who serve as trustees as well. A number of things that have been rather demanding upon our officers in the last couple of years, Father. We do ask that you would be sustaining them with your strength and with your wisdom. Keep them in their compassion upon the church and let them be blessed for exercising their love and compassion in the service of the church. Father, we pray the same thing for the deacons. Keep them knowledgeable of the things that are going on in the church. Keep their hearts open and eager to serve and help. We give you thanks, Father, that you have given us some resources that are there to help the deacons deliver the help that they do. We pray for our denomination's diaconal committee, ones who wish to nourish and enrich and inform the deacons throughout the land. Art would like to tap into those resources. We ask that you would provide that way. But Father, we do ask that you would be providing for the needs of this church as a congregation, not just the individual person's needs, but the needs of the church as a whole. And we ask that you would use it as an instrument, not just to care for the people who are present, but as an instrument to reach lost sheep beyond the walls. Neighbors that we know, friends that we know, relatives that we know. Use it, O God, to bless the Lord Jesus. Use it to help him find lost sheep and gather them in. Father, we want to give you thanks for children present this morning. We give you thanks, Father, for families where we get to watch and work with them as they raise their children. Thank you, Father, for blessing. We do ask, Father, that the families of this church would be places where children are raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We ask that parents would be enthusiastic about being connected with you and that enthusiasm would be passed on to the children. We ask that you would give success to the parents that we know and the grandparents, great-grandparents even. You have made your promises to us and to our children, and oh God, we ask that you would be giving success as we see our children grow up. We ask that they would grow into that knowledge, develop in your service, stay safe within the arms of Jesus always, and delight to declare themselves your people. Father, we ask that you would grant these things. And Father, we pray that you would be taking care of the heart of anyone who might be in deep sorrow now, perhaps loss of a family member, loss of a friend, maybe some great reversal in life, maybe something happening that is too deep for them to mention to anybody else, but we ask that they would find comfort in turning to you, that you would be surrounding them with the care of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Lord Jesus would be precious in their lives at this time. And Father, if there might be anybody here who is suffering some financial hardship or some severe illness or something, we ask that you would be taking care of them. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I thought Roy might have left the newer Book of Church Order up here, which has a communion service that's noticeably longer than the usual one, and I thought we got time for one that's noticeably longer, but that's not the case. He left the old book up here. And I'm not smart and creative enough to try to regenerate the other one out of my own head. So we will proceed with the usual one. But let me read. I'll read it from the Gospel of Matthew. That's the one that Roy usually does. The institution of the Lord's Supper of the last night that Jesus had with his disciples. Now on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' Then he answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' He said to him, 'You have said it.' And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Thus far the reading of that portion. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Until his coming again, it is to be observed for a perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of himself and his death. The physical elements, representing the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior, are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of his sacrifice upon the cross. They signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ, and are a bond and pledge of communion of believers with him and with each other as members of his mystical body. As signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of the children of God and call us to renewed consecration in gratitude for his salvation. It is my solemn duty to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who secretly and impenitently live in any sin, not to approach this holy table, lest you partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so eat and drink condemnation to themselves. Nevertheless, this warning is not designed to keep the humble and contrite from the table of the Lord, as if the supper were for those who might be free from sin. On the contrary, we who are invited to the supper, coming as guilty and polluted sinners, and without hope of eternal life apart from the grace of God in Christ, confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ. We base our hope of eternal life upon his perfect obedience and righteousness. And we humbly resolve to deny ourselves, crucify our old natures, and follow Christ as becomes those who bear his name. Let us therefore, in accordance with the admonition of the Apostle Paul, examine our minds and hearts to determine whether such discernment is ours, to the end that we may partake to the glory of God and to our growth in the grace of Christ. Let us take each of us a moment to examine ourselves now. Oh God, it is not comfortable to reflect upon our sins. We would be proud in our sins, but by your grace we are ashamed of them. We are ashamed that it took the death of your Son to deliver us from our sins. We are ashamed that sin lingers. We are ashamed that we have not done all we can to fight it and defeat it. It is not comfortable to reflect upon our sins, O God. But it is so good to know that you genuinely save. Salvation is a great salvation. It is salvation to the uttermost. It is salvation from the penalty of sin and salvation from the power of sin. Ultimately, we will know salvation from the presence of a sin. Oh God, it is good to celebrate these things. And as awful as our sins are, so great are you as a Savior, indeed greater. We give you thanks that the Lord Jesus has not only died for us and risen for us and poured out his Holy Spirit upon us and lives forever to intercede for us. Father, we not only are glad for these things, we are glad that he has left on this table simple tokens to remind us of these great things. Bread and cup. Father, thank you. Your word feeds our souls. These things assist us, assist that feeding. As we touch and as we taste, we are reminded so much more of your eternal love and the death of your Son. Father, we pray and we bring our thanksgiving at the same time. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think I'll touch here. I'll touch this one up here. After prayer and thanksgiving, the minister shall take the bread and having broken it, I haven't done that, and the cup. We will give it to the people saying, oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, having taken bread and the cup as well, and blessed and broken it, he gave it to his disciples as I, ministering in his name, give this bread unto you, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let me read these words again and make appropriate adjustments in your own mind while we read. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, having taken bread and blessed and broken it, gave it to his disciples as I, ministering in his name, give this bread unto you, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, as has been done in his name, He gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it." Keith, would you like to offer one more prayer of thanksgiving?
Lord God, thank you just by your grace bringing us to another blessed time of partaking of the Lord's Supper. Cause us to be, just to know in a very special way the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that's glorious and real and indescribable. And we thank you just for the opportunity to partake of it mutually together, to celebrate and likewise to mourn the sacrifice of our Savior who died for our sins, and instill within us the hope that that day when we will take this, we will have the banquet anew at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.